In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Genesis chapter 1, the first couple verses. And you can probably tell why I'm reading from Genesis in light of our recent trip to the Creation Museum. And after having Judd and Kathy Travis on Monday, and Paul and Frankie Boshin on Tuesday, Beamer is like in doggy heaven, Jason, with more sniffs from you today and the last 2 days of other friends in the studio. And what a great trip. And I mentioned yesterday that I'm sure you will have some things to share about the experience, but it was a fantastic visit to the Creation Museum. 56 of us on the bus, every single seat filled, even the three seats in the back near the bathroom, mm-hmm. all three of those were filled. We had lots of snack, testimony time, sharing, a wonderful visit. You did some teaching on the bus on Genesis and referencing some other scriptures. That was a real blessing. I had trip evaluations. I don't think you've seen them yet, but they're in the other room now. I may have somebody type them all up this Friday, but a lot of great feedback from everyone. And like I had mentioned on Monday and Tuesday, how much I appreciated the testimonies from people mm-hmm. and just hearing what they learned from the Creation Museum. But before I get some of your input, wait till you see what I found. This is going to be like the best gift ever for you. No, not best gift ever, but look what I found.
Oh, two of the caffeine cough drops. Oh, four of them. Six of them.
I was going into my old luggage where I take the laptop on the trips to Israel, and I said, wait till Jason sees this, because there's a whole story. I guess we have a minute or two. Yeah, that, you know, do you remember how I put that little guy's, the happy face guy? Hey, let me get a photo here. Let me get a photo here. I'll post this photo.
Wait, you're recording a radio show right now.
Yeah, he's
on his Facebook now.
No, we're getting the camera phone ready. We'll get that little guy. Come a little closer so they can see. Okay, there's a little. Oh no, hold up the candy so they can see it right next to the. Okay, there's the little candy. Let me get your face there in front.
No, you don't have to. Just can you take this and then we'll move on to the Bible.
All right, taken. All right, okay, back to the morning program. Oh, have I given the date yet? It's Wednesday. It's August 22nd, 2012. And yeah, the story behind this, I was very sick in the trip to Israel. I know a guy named, we call him Mr. $1, Hatim. He's an Arab Christian. He's very helpful. I've known him for a lot of years on the many trips to Israel. He felt so bad that I was sick and coughing and achy that he gave me what I thought were these cough drops. He had two variations, a licorice and a lemon. And I'm one that when I get sick, I do whatever it takes. If it means 3 gallons of water, I keep downing the fluids. And I was taking these cough drops at every chance I could, along with other medication and so forth. Well, one night I said, I got to beat this thing. And at 12 at night, I was downing them. At 2 in the morning, at 4 in the morning, I kept taking them because I thought whatever it takes to get my throat cleared and feeling better. And I'm like, I'm not getting any sleep. And I ended up like a half hour of sleep. Next morning, I woke up. And that was the morning I woke up and I cut my hand with the knife. And if things could go wrong, they went wrong. I got sunburned lips at the Dead Sea. It was a terrible worst ever bad day. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. There's that book. Well, we come to find out when Jason returns, I'll let you take over the story from there when you returned and you wanted some more of these licorice.
Yeah, these little candies are great. They're like black licorice, and they got a real good black licorice taste, little sucky candies. They're called Pectol. So I got back and I wanted to order some. So I went on the internet. I woke up because of jet lag from Israel like at 3 or 4 in the morning. So I'm on the computer and I'm trying to find how to order these things. And it comes up the American website where you can order these things, and it says your favorite caffeinated candy. So I'm thinking about Mark just downing them nonstop. And I watched him. I mean, he would go through a package of them pretty quick. And then I'm thinking, no wonder he couldn't sleep. He was downing how much caffeine? Yeah. And the only thing these cough drops say, when they're not really cough drops, it says licorice candy with vitamin C.
Yeah. So Hatim thought it was like a helper to soothe my throat. Well, it kept me awake, so I didn't sleep at all. But I just found 6 of those. They were still in
what
my little
gift.
Bag. So
those are good.
You get to have those today. So welcome to the Wednesday edition of Market Friends. What did you think about the Creation Museum? It was your second time there, and I know we had a lovely group. You appreciated all the people, but what was your takeaway this time?
For me, and you know what, there's a number of things that they've actually You know, say you've been to the Creation Museum and you think, wow, you know what, I really enjoyed it. It was great. You know, I went and I kind of soaked it all up. We went, maybe you went over 2 days. We were just there maybe 2.5, 3 months ago. And the number of updates and things that they've done to it, they changed the planetarium show completely. It's a new planetarium show, which no longer just gives us the scope of our own universe, but the scope of all the universes that we know of in relationship to creation. A fascinating show. I mean, I would love to see it at least a few more times to soak it all in, because the science behind what the guy was giving during that show was amazing.
And I referenced it yesterday. Literally, billions of trillions of... I mean, it's so mind-boggling, the size, the vastness of the universe, or the... what is there? Are there universes in the... I mean, there were like galaxies in the various... I don't know. Is there one universe... or there are many universes?
I'd have to watch it a bunch more times. There's like, I'm definitely, that's above my pay grade in terms of knowledge.
But there's like hundreds of millions of galaxies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we think of like a galaxy or universe, but there are gazillions of these. I mean, it just is unbelievable. It's unfathomable. And then they show all the sizes of some of these stars that are hundreds of times bigger than our own sun, which is so much bigger. And these things just go on and on. It's just, it was mind-boggling.
Right. And then I think at the end they did, we were at the farthest most point that we knew of. And then they brought us back so that we landed. It was kind of, they zoomed back in on us at the museum there. And it was really kind of fascinating as they did that, to be able to see our universe and our galaxy come into focus, and then you know, our planet and moon, and then our country. And I mean, just, they just worked it on. It was an amazing show. But all that to say, they just did I was shocked at how many things were different this time. And so just shocked at how many updates they're doing. They're consistently, I mean, this is a museum that's in motion. I mean, there's a lot going on, a lot changing. So you could go back in 6 months and go, wow, it's different. It feels different.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I don't think that there was any way that, given, you know, we did a one-day trip, you can soak it all in. I mean, I came this next time with armed with a notebook and that, writing down, because they do such a good job at giving us a scriptural timeline for things, too. So when they say, hey, here's the promise, here's where it began in Genesis, here's where it was through the Roman Empire and up towards us, and they give you scriptural references for everything. And I go, they've done some really great biblical work here that we can all benefit greatly from if we, you know, we take it down and then begin to internalize it. So, you know, just I'm always shocked again, what a great museum it is, but even more so, what a great teaching ministry it is. I mean, the amount of biblical work that goes in there, I always have to, my wife joked with me when I saw her on late Saturday, she said, how many books did you buy?
Yeah, you spent about 40 minutes in the bookstore.
Oh, yes, the amount of time that I spend in the bookstore is purely because I have to pick up a bunch of books, slice and dice, pick up some more books, slice and dice, try and figure out what it is I will actually buy. And then what normally happens is if I don't leave the museum right away, I go out and I go in the planetarium, I think we did. And then I sit there and I go, oh, but wait, there's just that one book. And if I just get that one more book, I mean, that I just really think I should get that book. So I always wrestle around. So I'm in the bookstore for a long time. I could probably make it a 10-minute trip if I went in there and go, you know, I'm going to get everything I want. and then just leave. But it's just a great, I think I shared with that before, great museum. It's a great bookstore. And I really appreciate the ministry of Answers in Genesis in terms of just the writing. I mean, you can go on their website. There's hundreds of journal articles, hundreds of books. I mean, hundreds of things that are free that you can access, that you can become equipped with, you know, a creation-based apologetic, and also that just a firm foundation on the Bible, you know, stuff that's New Testament, not just Genesis, but just a great foundation. They do a great job at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know your children, or Jacob in particular, started school this past Monday, and he had a neat insight I would have never even thought about, like the first day of school. Was there peer pressure? Did he get along with the kids? Was something hard on him? And your response when I asked you, how was Jacob's first day, surprised me. I thought it was so unique because I would have never thought of that.
Yeah. He said he didn't have enough to eat.
Yeah.
He said he needed more food. Like, you know, and then we're like, well, what does that mean? You know, my wife and I are like, does he need more protein in the morning? What does he need? So now he's going to have like oatmeal and sausage in the morning, and we're trying to figure it out. But it's just not enough to eat, he said. And I think it was a combination of a lot of things. I think, number one, it was a new schedule. He's never really a 6 o'clock kid. So to be up at 6 o'clock, eating a big bowl of oatmeal, and then they don't eat lunch until 12:30. So he eats from like 6:45, he eats his breakfast, and then he doesn't eat again until 12:30. That's a long span of time for a first grade kid. And then compound that with, like, nerves, new environment, all those things. I mean, you probably get hungrier quicker.
And if he's used to being at home, you can go to the refrigerator. Hey, Mom, can I have a cracker or a snack or something
right.
throughout the day? Where I just thought that was so unique, you would think, what would be his experience that first day where the teacher's sweet? I was hungry, you know, so
yeah.
that's classic. Now, Abigail, I haven't heard this yet, but you referenced that Abigail had something interesting to say.
Oh, no, it was Molly.
Oh,
so
Molly.
We're sitting on Monday morning at the kitchen table, and we're eating breakfast, and, of course, we're all eating breakfast way earlier, and Tasha and I are just trying to get some coffee in because it's 6 o'clock, and we're not 6 o'clock people either. You know what? I just want to right away say this, that I have a great and profound respect for those pastors out there who are like, you know, I'm up at 5 with the Lord. But you know what? I just want to right now just let anybody know if there's anybody who needs to do like a midnight Bible study.
You're there.
I'm there. I'm like a little more the night kind of guy than I am the morning kind of guy. And it was so frustrating. For a year and a half, I served churches and I would go and meet with pastors and that. And I'm like, is there anybody who wants to meet at a time other than 6 a.m.? I mean, all of them just want to meet at 6 a.m. And I'm like, ah. So we're all sitting around the table, and Tasha and I are trying to get some coffee in, and Molly goes, Jacob, do you have to go to school? And Jacob goes, yep. You know, Molly goes, Mom, can't he just be homeschooled? And Tasha and I both, without hitting a beat, go, no. Because one less. We're like, one less. So it's good. But it was a good time, you know, him going to school. And just being able to talk about that, I was really shocked. I went to go drop him off at the bus stop now down the street and kind of just around the corner. Maybe it's, you know, a 4-minute, 5-minute walk over there. But we got there and there was probably about 10 kids, maybe 8 to 12-ish. Not really sure. I didn't take a count. But only one parent there. Only one other parent was there with their kids. The rest of the kids, I guess, were kind of released from the house to run to the bus stop or do whatever. And I was just shocked by that because me and my wife had had a real conversation about that the bus stop isn't the bus stop, that the bus stop is the prayer stop. You know, it's a place where we can go out and in the public, be able to pray for him, be able to send him off, pray over the bus. You know, I went on Monday morning and at 6:30 a.m. and met one of the gentlemen who's in our church, Gene. He's a bus driver for the school district, so I met him at 6:30, and I walked around and prayed over all the buses, you know, kind of laid a hand on each bus and prayed over all those buses for safety, that those buses would be places of divine appointment, against frustration, because we know when you get a bunch of kids on a bus, things can get crazy, against mechanical failure, you know, just prayed over all those buses. And then I see those bus stops as places where kids are leaving home, and they're kind of going out, you know, putting their first, you know, for some people like Jacob, his first tentative steps into the world and what it means to spend more time somewhere other than his house. So I was shocked by not seeing a lot of parents there, because for me, I go, this is not a bus stop. It's a prayer stop. It's mm-hmm. a place where I can, other kids watch me pray with Jacob, because before Jacob leaves, I said, hey, let's pray. And he readily does that. He puts his hand on my shoulder, and I kind of bend down to his level, and he looks me in the eyes, and we pray over all of his stuff. And it was real funny yesterday, because one of the kids is like, come on, Jacob, the bus is here. And Jacob goes, just a minute, we're praying. And so now it's well known. And what's funny, too, is that the one parent who is there with their child, they're just transplants from New York, recently moved here. And she was just saying how much she appreciated it. Gave me a chance to share who Jesus is with her. She knows, she just hasn't been to church yet since they've moved here from New York. And it opened a conversation. How do I get in a community of believers? What does that look like? How do I get to meet people? I mean, you could really see it reaching out. And I really didn't start too many conversations. I just came and prayed with my kid. Mm-hmm. And I think that more of us need to do that. And I say prayer stop because I'm trying to co-opt the name bus stop. But at the same time, it's also a reminder that any place during our day, we can hit the stop button and we can pray to God Almighty and we can ask for His wisdom. And He sent His Holy Spirit to be the counselor. Jesus said the counselor. Now, I want to tell somebody something, because I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, I'm walking back from the bus stop and I'm thinking, why the prayer stop? I'm thinking, I prayed. And I'm thinking, you know what? Jesus called the Holy Spirit the counselor, which must mean that we need counseling. You know, a lot of people, it's funny because a lot of guys will come into the office, you know, and they're doing marital counseling. And I go, well, tell me why you're here. And the guy will always kind of look at his wife and he'll go, I don't need counseling, but she wants to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, really? You know, and then I start thinking, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the counselor. And these are his disciples. These are the guys that he's going to hang the church on going forward. I mean, this is Peter. This is John, the disciple whom he loved. This is Matthew. And these are guys who are going to give birth to this movement that we call Christology, birth to the church. and they're going to do the things that Jesus called them. And he sent them a counselor. They needed a counselor. You know, and it just reminds, it's a helpful reminder to us that we all need to lean into the Holy Spirit, because Jesus, God Almighty in the flesh, knew that we needed somebody, knew that we desperately needed, because on our own, we would go off the rails. Mm-hmm. And that every moment in your day can be a prayer stop. Every moment you can say, you know what, I need to hit the stop button, and I need to pray right now. Maybe today you're having some sort of, maybe you're listening in the morning program and you're going in and you know you're going to have some sort of meeting at work or some sort of meeting somewhere that you just don't want to have. And before you have that meeting, hit the prayer stop and pray and ask God Almighty, ask the counselor what it is you should do in this, because you need counseling. I need counseling. Mark, he needs a lot.
But hey, I'm going to stop and do a Jason. Pray for me, everyone. See what happens. He's always picking on me, putting me down. You know, pray for me, everyone.
Hey, I only read one of the listener surveys, and it said, "Let Jason talk more."
Yeah.
But maybe it's 7:30 in the evening. You're listening to the re-airing of this show, and you've had some sort of something's happened during the day, and it just wasn't good. You know what? You are allowed a prayer stop. Hit the stop button and pray. You're allowed a timeout. You're allowed a do-over. You know what? I'm going to get on the pedestal. I'm going to get in the pulpit here for a minute. You know what? I'm really tired of this culture of like we make a mistake and it hangs over us like the yoke, and we got to walk and drag it along with us. You know, God through the person of Jesus Christ gives us a do-over, gives us the ability to stop and to ask the counselor what we should do. God gives us redemption and reconciliation. He takes us from where we were and brings us into a new place. He wouldn't say, "I'm making all things new," if he wanted to remind you of all things that are old. He wants you to remind you of the newness that you can experience in Christ. But you know what? You can't do that unless you turn your face towards him. It's that great prayer of Aaron in Deuteronomy that says, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he lift you up and turn you towards him and give you peace." Well, you know what's implied in that prayer is, number one, that our faces are not always turned towards him, but his is always turned towards us. And that when we look God in the face, we get peace. It's the gift of God in the person and revelation of Jesus Christ communicated through the Holy Spirit. So no matter where you've been today and what's happened today, if you're listening to the 7:30 re-airing, you get a prayer stop. You get a do-over. You get to step into the presence of Lord Jesus and say, "You know what? It didn't go well. But I'm going to lay it down at the cross. And I'm going to move forward." And I'm going to do so by hitting that pause button, by praying to God and asking him for his wisdom and his clarity. And we're going to go from there. You know, maybe you're listening to the streaming audio at your house, or you're listening to the archive program, and maybe you're late coming up on this, but it's been a bad week. Once again, a prayer stop. We need to be a people who stop more often and pray and spend less time ruminating in all the ways that we failed. Turn it over to Jesus today. Give it over to Jesus. And the only way you're going to do that is with some good counseling. And thank goodness he's given us the Holy Spirit to offer us that counseling.
I'm glad you're practicing what you're preaching, because you've been sharing a message on prayer the last few weeks. Is this a sneak preview? I don't think I've heard you talk about prayer stops during your Sunday sermons.
No, that was just something we kept saying, got to get to the bus stop. It's my job to take them to the bus stop in the morning. This is one of the things as a dad. You know, I'm going to tell you what, as a dad, there's a lot of things I've done wrong. As a dad, there's a lot of ways I've gotten roped up into all the things I need to do for my job, as a pastor, all kinds of things. I mean, a high-impact person, and sometimes I think the burden of a high-impact person is that they forget to stop and smell the roses. They feel like they're making an impact somewhere else, and they don't make an impact where it matters most. So I coveted to my wife. I mean, I just repented to her and told her all the ways that I feel like I've really just not done the right things. And we had a great dinner out last night, and just once again reaffirming for her that I love her so much. And whenever we get together, me and my wife always say, "Hey, let's talk about the good, bad, the ugly. What's good, what's bad, what's ugly?" And we each take a turn. And I just said, "Hey, my ugly is, you know what? I know what matters most, and I sometimes just really miss it and forget it." You know, and so I coveted with her that, "Hey, I want to spend more time with her, because I find my greatest joy in being with Jesus and being with her." And so I go, "I just want to spend more time with you, honey, and my kids." And so I just said, "Hey, I'm going to get up. I'm going to be the one that gets them on the bus. I don't care what happens." I mean, there was a thing I was going to attend on Thursday that I was really looking forward to attending. And I said, "You know what? I'm sorry I can't come, because in order to be at Peoria at 9 o'clock, I'm going to have to leave before it's time to get on the bus. And so I'm not going to do it. I 8 o'clock, I'm at the bus doing my prayer stop with my son. And so just coveting to take that time for my son because he needs it. He needs his dad. And then my wife's going to pick him up every day at 3 because I'm obviously in the midst of work. And I want to be home by 5 or 5.30 to be able to have dinner. So it's just something that happened upon me as I was walking back, and I was thinking, hey, what's the words we use? Bus stop. But what can it really be? It can be an opportunity for me to pray for my son, for me to give my son over to what God wants to do in his life today. And I really thought, you know, going into the school system, Muhammad has a great school system, don't get me wrong, but in any academic surroundings always tend to be more academic and less biblical. And I want my son to be sent off with the peace of God, with the knowledge of God, with the clarity that God is the biggest person in his life. And via that, I mean, as long as he operates in that, it was really funny today because he goes, oh, we forgot to get my gym shoes, because we need to go get him some gym shoes. And me and my wife went on a date last night, and it just kind of skipped our minds because we were enjoying each other so much. So when he goes, oh, I don't have any gym shoes. And I looked at him, and I go, you know what? I go, when you go to gym today, because he has like his Keen sandal things on, I said, just tell the gym teacher, next week you'll have some gym shoes, and that you're really sorry. And you understand that you need to have gym shoes, but you're really sorry, and you'll have them next week. And he goes, but she'll be mad. And I go, Jacob, even if you display humility and submission, you admit you're wrong, you admit that she's the authority and she would like you to have some gym shoes, and you do all these things, I said, Jacob, you're standing in a place where Jesus wants you to be, and he'll cover it over. Don't worry about it.
So, well, thanks for sharing about that prayer stop, because all of us can stop throughout our day today. And maybe you see a school bus go by, pray over the children in that bus, or take the initiative like Jason did. Be with your children or be with your neighbor's children. Be that influence to start a practice of prayer stop, if you will. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.